But I tell you, I'm excited about what I'm hearing. I made up my mind a few years ago, back during the Brownsville revival. I made up my mind a few years ago that if God's moving, I want to be part of it. I want to be involved in a move of God wherever it's happening. You know, I know so many. I've been a Church of God preacher for almost 40 years, so I can speak with some authority, and I know what I'm talking about. I didn't get off this turnip truck last week. I've been in it for a while. And I know so many Pentecostal preachers and their attitude, if it don't start with me, I don't have anything to do with it. It's all me. If the revival don't start with me, if move of God don't start in my church, and all of this. I made up my mind a few years ago, if God's moving, I want to be involved in it. My prayer is, God, let me find out where you're moving and get involved. I think Talmadge and Junior and them are DVDing some of these. If they're not, I want them to try. And we may, one Sunday night, real soon, schedule a Sunday evening service and just show you one of these tapes. Probably not for 4 hours. We'll edit it down some and show you some highlights. But I'm interested in anything God's doing. Church, this is the last days. I've told you that now for 6 years, and others have told you, and you've heard it longer than I've been here. These are the last days, and I believe God's doing a quick work, and God's, Talmadge is right. If you saw a picture of Todd Bentley, you'd wonder. I read his biography this week, and he came out of heavy drug addiction. He's came out of criminal activity, the whole nine yards. I mean, he was there. And he still doesn't look like your typical Pentecostal preacher. If you seen him on the street somewhere, you'd probably think he was a WWF wrestler. But that's up to God. What he decides to do, you know, in Bible days, in New Testament days, they probably looked at Saul of Tarsus and said, how can God use that character? I mean, he killed Christians. He hunted them down. How can God use that guy? But God did. And over half of the New Testament was written by this character named Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul and moved the world for God. God's doing a quick work in these last days, and the best thing we can do is just get involved and let him do a work in us. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. As you see, we're set up for communion this morning, so after the message and whatever God wants to do in the altar time, we will be doing communion music. We will be doing communion. And so stick around for that. That's always a special time. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And I'll be reading through verse 6. It's in red in my Bible, so Jesus said it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want to talk this morning, preach a message on a subject that may hit close to home to many of you. My wife saw what I was preaching, and she said to me in the office, seeing what you was preaching this morning, and you're going to have to practice what you preach. You know, that's the problem with being a preacher. You know, it'd be so easy if I could just tell you to do this, and I wouldn't have to worry about it, or I wouldn't have to be concerned about it. I want to talk about worry. Worry. If you allow him to, Satan will cause you to be so eat up with worry that you won't be any good for God. That's why Jesus said in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Did you know that none of us are immune from worry? I wish there was a shot we could take that would inoculate us against worry. Go to the doctor, get a shot, we won't worry anymore. But that's not available. It's not on the market and never will be. None of us are immune from worry. But did you know that worry is hazardous to our Christian life? Not only that, worry is contrary to the will of God for your life. It is not God's will for you to be eat up with worry and always have that worried, frustrated look on your face. That's not God's will for you. It's not God's will for me. And it's easy to get that way because of the troubles in this world. Turn on your television nowadays, and all you hear about is high gas prices. All you hear about, I told my wife on the way to church this morning, the new thing that I'm hearing on the news now is food prices. They're talking about how food is going up and there's still no end to it. It's just going to keep getting more expensive. And, you know, there are some things you can't live without. You can live without a big fine car, and you can live without a big fine home. But you can't live without food. And if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see that during the Great Tribulation, there's going to be a real food situation in our world and a real food crisis and a real food shortage. And they're talking about it even in the day in which we live. And so if you listen to all this and then add to that the fact that we're in a presidential election year here in the United States, and I don't know of anybody that's real excited about there are people that are real excited about it, but I don't understand them. Personally, I'm not really excited about anybody that's running for president this year. It's a matter of the least of the worst. And I'm not going to get into all that, but, you know, if you allow yourself, you can sit around and worry about that. Who's going to run the country after November or after January of next year when the presidency changes hands? You know, who's going to run the country? Who's going to be in charge? What's going to happen to gas? Have you seen the new $5 bill? Well, it's a parody on the $5 bill, but I saw on the internet this past week somebody posted a picture, and they said this is the new $5 bill, and in the corner was a message that said, This is good for 1 gallon of gasoline. Well, I hope that's not prophetic, and I hope that's not coming, but it very well may come to that gasoline will cost $4 or $5 a gallon. I don't know where it's all going to stop. I don't know where it's all going to be over, but I do know this, that worry is not going to change any of it. Worry is not going to affect it. If you sit around and worry all the time, all you're going to do is make yourself sick, bring old age on. Did you know that worry is bad for your physical health, and it is not God's will for you to worry. It's not God's will for his people to spend their time in worry. God wants you to be productive, and you cannot and will not be productive if all you're doing is worrying and spending your time fretting and wringing your hands all the time wondering, what am I going to do next? I got news for you. Jesus and God Almighty didn't wake up this morning with a jolt and say, oh no, what are we going to do today? We didn't expect this. All of this is in God's hands, and God knows all about it, and he's going to take care of us if we'll trust him. That's why the Bible says if you will trust God, he'll take care of you. You see, I've got a business partner, and his name is God Almighty. I'm in business with Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, who is my provider. I don't understand where it comes from. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how we're making it. I don't understand how we're going to get there. But I do believe this, that if I'll be faithful to God, and if you'll be faithful to God, God will take care of us. In other words, we're not going under. We're going over. We're not going down. We're going up in the rapture. And until the trumpet sounds, I believe God is going to take care of his people, and you're his people. I told God just last night in my prayers, I said, God, healing is the children's bread, and I'm a child of God. And Lord, I'm believing you for my healing. By his stripes, I am healed, praise God. And by his stripes, you're healed. And he's going to take care of us if we'll just trust and believe him. But the worst thing that you can do is worry about all of this stuff. Let's look at it. If you're worried and troubled, remember verse 1. Says your faith should rest in Christ alone. Our faith should rest in Christ alone. Who have you put your faith in? If you put your faith in the economy, you're in trouble. If you put your faith in the bank, the stock market, you're in trouble. If you put your faith in somebody, you're in trouble. But if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll never be in trouble. He's going to take care of us regardless of what may come or what may go. I'd like to be able to stand here today and tell you that the economy is going to get better, but in my heart, I really don't much believe that. In my heart, I really don't see that in God's Word. Well, I know that we're supposed to believe for the best. But I'll tell you the truth. I'm concerned about the future of America. The party that is in control of the Congress and has been for 2 years now, if they get control of the White House, they'll have a lock on Washington. And I'm concerned. I won't tell you that I'm worried, because I refuse to worry about it. But I'm concerned. I don't know the direction America's going to take. I will tell you this. For years, prophecy preachers and teachers have said that they really don't see America in prophecy. America is not really in prophecy. If you search the Bible, Europe is there. The Far East is there. The Middle East is definitely there. The Muslims and the Jews are there, but America is strangely missing in prophecy. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what that means, but I'll be honest with you. I'm concerned about the future of America. You need to be. We need to be concerned about the future of our nation. Get out and vote in November. Don't let somebody else vote for you. You get out and vote. But I'm concerned about it. But But our faith should rest in Christ alone. This entire chapter here that I've read to you, chapter 14 of John, this entire chapter consists of words of comfort and consolation to those that are that God loves so dearly. Did you know that God loves you? You're the apple of his eye, the Bible said. He loves you. You're not a stepchild of God's. You're not somebody that God just picked up along the wayside. No, you're a child of the Most High God. If you've asked him to come into your life, you're his child. He's your father. And if you'll trust him, I believe he'll take care of you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. But he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed out begging for bread. If you'll trust God, God will take care of you. Now, you may not always have a Cadillac Escalade in your driveway. He don't guarantee you you'll live in a $500,000 house. He doesn't guarantee you that you'll dress like the finest person in the county. But he does say, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I believe he will. Trust him. Believe him. Refuse to worry. Don't let worry grip your heart. But know that God is on your side. Jesus was everything. Or Jesus was assuring these people here in John 14 that he would reserve them a place in heaven. A firm belief in God will alleviate worry. If you really believe God, you won't worry. You see, when we worry, that means that we have more faith in somebody else than we have in God, whether it's the government or the bank or somebody else. Do you really believe God? Are you leaning fully upon him? I've got a call that I wish this church was full today. I'll tell you the truth, I'm distressed and I'm disturbed at what I see happening in the body of Christ. And I promised you when this service began that I wouldn't beat up on you because others aren't here, but I'll be honest with you, I'm disturbed. And I have been for a while, because I see an easy Christianity that snuck in the back door. People will serve God as long as it's easy. People will name the name of Christ as long as all the benefits are there. And as long as it's easy and simple. But you let it begin to be a little difficult, and all of a sudden, where are they at? That's disturbing. Church, it's time we got serious about this thing. The rest of the world has been persecuted for years. Go to some of these third world countries and you'll find out that Christians have been killed for their testimony. We think it could never happen in America. Who promised us that? Who promised us that we would never have to lay down our lives for our testimony? It's happening every day in third world countries. It's happening every day in other parts of the world. Christians being murdered, not because they've committed a crime, but because they named the name of Christ. Because they're committed to him and they're paying the ultimate total price. Church, it's time for this easy Christianity to go by the wayside. It's time we got serious about this thing. It's time that we serve God and mean it. You don't think I could have stayed home this morning? I'm congested. I don't know if it's a cold or what it is. My right knee hurts. Easiest thing I could have done this morning, rolled over and told my wife, you go preach this morning. I'm staying home. But you see, the Lord's coming. Jesus is getting ready to come in the clouds of glory. And church, I want to tell you something. I believe he's coming back after a people that are dedicated and committed to him. He's not coming back after people that serve him in the good times, and in the bad times they forsake him. When everything's positive, they're there. When things begin to get a little negative and difficult and hard, where are they to be found? I wasn't here at the time, but I remember in 2001, around about September the 11th, all of a sudden the churches filled up. I was pastoring in Northern Maryland at the time, and that little church filled up for a few Sundays. People in the pews that I didn't even know who they were. Why? Because they got scared. They thought the end of the world was here. Terrorists blew up the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Crashed four planes. Jetliners killed 3,000 some odd people. And fear struck. And people came back to church. But you know what? It didn't last. A month or two later, where were they? You see, this kind of stuff won't work. I've made up my mind, church. Let me just talk to you for a minute here, from my heart. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve God, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. I've made up my mind. I'm going to heaven, one way or the other. If some preacher promised you that if you just get saved, you could ride to heaven on a bed of roses and on a nice soft pillow or a mattress, I hate to burst that bubble, but it's just not true. There's going to be some difficult times. There's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some hardships. But that's when it's so important to truly serve him. Anybody can serve God on the mountaintop. Will you serve God in the valley? Anybody can serve God when the sun's shining bright. Will you serve God when the clouds are rolling in and you don't know what the future holds? Anybody can serve God when there's plenty of money. But are you going to serve God when it gets hard? I know people that won't go to church right now. Why? Because gas is $3.60 a gallon. And they're at home getting it through the television. I appreciate the TV preachers. Appreciate what Brother Talmadge shared with us. And I encourage you to get filled up on that. But don't replace it with the local church. You'll get something here you can't get anywhere else. You need the church. You need the saints of God. So Jesus said in verse 1 that our faith should rest in Christ alone. Number 2, if you're worried and troubled, remember this. According to verses 2 and 3, Christ has made eternal provisions for you. Think about that. We've got a home in heaven. Oh, glory to God. It's win-win for us, church. We win while we're alive because we're serving God. And when we breathe our last breath, we go to be with him forever. How are you going to beat a deal like that? You can't. That's the best there is. I've been serving God now 39 years. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't serve the Lord. I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. I'd be afraid to leave my house. I don't know how people face the pressures of this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I've made eternal provisions for you. When you begin to worry and fret, stop long enough to think of what's waiting for you in heaven. He's made eternal provisions for you. When you breathe your last breath down here, it's not over. In fact, like the song says, it's only just begun. It's just started when you breathe your last breath here. You know, we go to funerals and look at the corpse and we say to ourselves, well, that's it for them. Whether they were Christians or whether they weren't, that's not it for them. That's just a shell. If that person served Christ and their sins were forgiven, they're in heaven. If that person died without Jesus in their heart and died in their sins, that person's in an eternal place called hell. In other words, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that it doesn't end at the grave regardless. It's not over when you breathe your last breath. Jesus said, don't worry because I've made eternal provisions for you. Jesus was assuring them that he had reserved them a place in heaven. Did you know you've got a place reserved for you in heaven? It's got your name on it. You're as saved today as if you're already there, if you know the Lord as Savior. Unlike others, we don't have to wait till we die to find out if we made it. I know I'm making it because my faith is in Christ. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm good, because I'm not good. I'm going to go to heaven because he's good. Because he died in my place. Thank God. And then, if you're worried and troubled, remember, number three, that you can ask what you will in prayer and receive it from the Lord, according to verses 13 and 14. Let me ask you a question. Why worry when you can pray? You need to pray more and worry less. Next time you're tempted to worry, start praying. You don't have to get in a prayer posture on your knees. You might be on the job. You might be in your car. You might be somewhere where you can't get down on your knees. But just start praying. If you'll pray, next time you're tempted to worry, you know what? You'll come out of that thing. It won't last. Satan didn't put that thing on you so that you could pray. He put it on you so that you could worry. Why worry when you can pray? Use your energy in prayer, not in worry. The most productive thing that you can do when you're facing trouble is pray. If all you do is worry, you're just wasting time. Begin to pray. Number four, if you're worried and troubled, remember that according to verse 16, you have a comforter that abides with you always. You have a comforter that abides with you always. He's not just there when you feel good. He's not just there in positive times. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not with you just on the mountaintop. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, the shadow of death, thou art with me. He's provided you a comforter that will be with you always. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. Why worry when you can pray and you have the Comforter living and dwelling within you? Oh, praise God. In verse 16, we find one of the great promises of Jesus to us. We're not left without help or without hope. We have a Comforter. That's why he told the disciples, it's important for you that I leave, because unless I leave, the Comforter cannot come. You know what's so wonderful about the Comforter? He's with all of us always. You know, I would have loved to have been with Jesus during his earthly ministry. That would have been fantastic. But did you know that if Jesus was in Jerusalem and I'm in Damascus, Maryland, USA, it wouldn't work, because he's there and I'm here. And because of his physical limitations, while he was on this earth, he couldn't be in both places. He could only be in one place at a time. But when he went away and the day of Pentecost fully came, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. You know the wonderful thing about him, the Holy Spirit? He's in Jerusalem this morning, or this evening, whatever it is there. And he's in Damascus, Mount Airy. He's in Baltimore. He's in New York City. He's in London. He's in the great cities of the world. He's around this world. To everyone that will call upon his name, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is available. What a privilege! You'll never travel so far that he won't go with you. He'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. He'll be with you when you feel good. He'll be with you when you feel bad. He'll be with you when you're rich. He'll be with you when you're not so rich. He'll be with you when you're positive. And he'll be with you when you're tempted to be negative. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. How wonderful. Finally, number 5. If you're worried and troubled, remember that Christ will not leave you comfortless. He will come to you. Verse 18. When we're worried and fretful, he will come to us with his strength, and he'll help us. Oh, how many times have we needed his help? Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I sit up in the bed and I say, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you tonight. I need you. And you know what? He's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's with us always, even to the end of the world. You'll never have a time that the Holy Spirit will not be with you as long as you're serving Jesus Christ. So knowing all of this that I've talked to you about this morning, why are we so worried? And like I said when I started this message, when I preach this to you, I'm preaching this to me. I'm not exempt. You remember I came a few months ago to this pulpit on a Sunday morning and I bared my soul with you. Satan was eating me up alive last summer and early fall. Worried. I'd put my mortgage payment in the post in the mailbox, and before it hit the bottom of the mailbox, Satan would be telling me, you're not going to make it. You're not going to survive. But you know what? And I'm not bragging, because difficult times demand difficult actions. But I went on a 7-day fast. Fasted a couple of more times last fall. And the Lord helped me to realize that regardless of what may come or what may go, He's my source. Church, God is your source. We're talking about the God that brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, took them across the Red Sea on dry land, gave them manna from heaven, food from heaven, for 40 years in the middle of the desert. When the heat would have killed them in the daytime, He sent a cloud by day to cover them up. When the cold would have frozen them at night, He sent a pillar of fire that warmed them. When they came up against their enemies, He gave them victory. That's the kind of God that I'm talking about. He's going to take care of us. I've told you many times about God's calculator. God's calculator works on different principles than ours does. If you got a calculator, go home and punch in 1 + 1. It better read 2. If it says anything other than 2, throw it away. It's a piece of junk. But you know the great thing about God. You get on God's calculator and you can put in 1 + 1 and it can equal 1,000. 10,000. 1,000,000. As long as He's one of the ones. In other words, you plus God are a majority. Every time. God and you can get the job done. So based on all of that, why are we so worried? Stop worrying. Pray more. If you'll pray, God will make a way. Trust Him. I believe I talked to somebody this morning. I believe God sent me to this church with this message for someone. If you're a worrier, take a lesson from the Word. Replace that worry energy with prayer energy, and you'll get somewhere in your life.